Hi guys, I'm Andrew Davidson with AsPerMyAbility.com. 500 miles to love, 800 miles to freedom. If you're fortunate enough to remember the 1980s, you probably know the incredibly popular song, I'm Gonna Be 500 Miles, by Scottish alt-rock band The Proclaimers, with brilliant lyrics such as, if I get drunk, I'm gonna be the man who gets drunk next to you. And when I'm lonely, I'm going to be the man who is lonely without you. The song's bedrock is built on the most significant universal theme ever known to mankind. Love. For a man needs a woman like jelly needs peanut butter. Not really required, but better enjoyed together. From Jean de Clisson, who systematically cut off the heads of French nobles with a battle axe to avenge the death of her spouse, to Caroline Lamb, who routinely mailed chunks of her bloody pubic hair to her ex-boyfriend and British poet, Lord Byron. Now, I bet you're feeling pretty good about that mixed CD you mailed your sweetheart back in 2002, aren't you? Since the dawn of time, people have always performed bizarre acts ranging from completely idiotic to downright heroic due to being helplessly, hopelessly in love. Okay, switching topics. But what have people done for freedom? Hollywood teaches us that the human spirit is strong. The pursuit of happiness taught me that once you put your mind to it, you can obtain freedom by fulfilling your hopes and dreams. The Shawshank Redemption showed me that a man can crawl through a sewage pipe 300 feet long filled with human waste for a taste of some sweet, sweet freedom. Or that sealing yourself inside a body bag meant for the bottom of the sea can literally give you your life back, just like in The Count of Monte Cristo. Braveheart inspired me to sacrifice everything for just one chance at freedom. Because no massive moments in an individual's life are more important than just one moment of freedom. These films are popular because they're a breath of fresh air. They're narratives on what the human spirit can endure to be free, to escape their metaphorical or literal prisons for complete and utter autonomy. But what about a historical context? I mean, it's well documented that history and literature are symbiotic, feeding one another like feeble toddlers. Being that as it may, then I've got news for the Proclaimers. While love makes us bat crap crazy, the want for freedom makes us intrepid. And heroes of American history are always intrepid. Take Harriet Tubman, for example. Harriet, a woman of color, not only devoted 40 years of her life escorting African slaves to freedom, but was influential in driving the rusty nail home for women's suffrage. With the passing of the Fugitive Slave Law Act of 1850, which punished individuals for, quote-unquote, aiding and abetting slaves, Tubman was a true badass. Being not just a woman, but a woman of color, nobody would bat an eye as slave catchers would beat, rape, kill her, leaving her bloody and disfigured body at the bottom of a ravine somewhere. Think of it. Harriet gave up everything she had and dedicated her life to freeing her African brothers and sisters. She lived a life off the beaten path in constant fear for her safety. And to think my whole life comes to a devastating and dismal halt when the Wi-Fi goes down for an afternoon. I can't even use my smart home device to turn on the lights so I can read. You mean I actually have to get up and flip a switch? What is this, the 60s? Let's get one thing straight, okay? I know the Underground Railroad sounds like a hip dance move frequently observed on American Bandstand during the 1970s, but it's not. The Underground Railroad is a misnomer. Contrary to its title, it was neither underground nor a railroad. History is tricky like that. The Underground Railroad existed from 1800 to 1865, though reaching the pinnacle of activity from 1850 to 1860. Composed of backwoods trails and unclear passages through forests, traveling the Underground Railroad was no walk in the park. The term underground was symbolic of keeping it a secret. Individuals such as Harriet Tubman used railroad codes to communicate with checkpoint stations, hence it being a railroad. Tubman would lead groups of slaves out of the South, always leaving Saturday night to buy time before the runaway slaves had their names printed in the local newspaper on Monday morning, and traversed north to freedom, to Canada more specifically. Together, under the guidance of Tubman, they moved only at night in between stopping at stations. Sidebar, I wonder if Tubman ever doubted herself or got lost. Hell, I can't even make it to the other side of town for a job interview without GPS and Google Maps. Given my history and considering the road less taken had to constantly change to avoid being predictable, I know for a fact I would, at some point, take a wrong turn in Hirschtel, Arkansas, or some other random place. It's only a matter of time. But remember, unlike me, Harriet Tubman was intrepid. A station was typically a home of an abolitionist. At the station, the fugitive group would eat and sleep during the day, only to depart on foot under the cover of night. No calling an Uber for these folks. Come rain or snow, they had to be on the move. For these brave souls, the quest for sweet freedom came with heat exhaustion, anxiety, frostbite, fear, malnourishment, and other forms of physical and psychological adversity. With the cessation of the American Civil War and ratification of the 13th Amendment, the Underground Railroad, much like my sex life, became obsolete. The Underground Railroad, along with my ability to seal the deal in the bedroom, fell victim to a fundamental economic principle: supply and demand. The network faded into history. Decades would pass before abolitionists felt comfortable enough to come forward and identify their work on the railroad without any threat of harm or punishment. For their heroic work and contribution to a humanitarian cause, despite overwhelming fear of imprisonment and or death, although the names are endless, out of respect, I'd like to list a few of them. Harriet Tubman, Levi Coffin, William Still, Frederick Douglass, Thomas Garrett, Samuel Burris, William Lloyd Garrison, and Sojourner Truth. To quote American personality and former TV host Oprah Winfrey, "We speak your names." While there is no official count, historians estimate that around 100,000 slaves escaped using the Underground Railroad. Slavery is a dreadful and horrific mark on American history. But hearing that figure, 100,000, always makes me smile. It represents the amount of people who gave up everything, pushed against all the odds, and became intrepid. Freedom, the Underground Railroad, published in 2012 by Academy Games, is a cooperative game where players take on the roles of individuals aiding and abetting slaves for a chance of sweet and beautiful freedom. Freedom is designed by Brian Mayer and plays 1 to 4 players in anywhere from 1 to 2 hours. In Freedom, players work together to avoid being caught by slave marshals or running out of time. Essentially, like all stellar cooperative games, the gameplay is a puzzle with a bit of randomness represented by rolling dice to see which way the marshals move. Players win freedom by assisting a requisite number, determined by player count, of slaves to freedom. Players lose if they fail to work fast enough to keep plantation spaces on the game board open to accommodate new arrivals from Africa, or by running out of rounds. Each game only allows for 8 rounds, which means players have to forego all inhibitions. The game teaches players to be proactive, be aggressive, and to take risks. Time is not on your side, as the game can quickly spiral out of control the moment players sit back and wait for the opportune moment to make their big move. To even have a prayer of winning, players must become intrepid. Freedom is beautiful and thematic. The game board is a clear representation of the eastern half of America. The illustrations are realistic representations of people and historical events. The cards are assembled and tiered to represent the passing of time within the game, starting in 1800 and ending in 1865, and include not only noteworthy historical figures such as John C. Calhoun, the 7th Vice President of the United States, but historical events such as the Nat Turner Slave Rebellion and Bleeding Kansas, which was a precursor to the American Civil War. At the time of recording this, I have only been successful at obtaining victory once, and even then we may have inadvertently cheated. If you haven't picked up on it by now, I'll go ahead and say it. The game is tense. The choices you and your friends act on will make or break your attempt at winning. One wrong move or a bad roll of the dice can literally change everything. Freedom is not easy, as all well-designed cooperative games should be. However, that is not to say the game is deterministic. Every time I lose, I hold my head high because I know that victory was obtainable. I never leave the table with that hopeless pit in my stomach. With each game and each attempt, you feel like there is always a chance at winning if you're feeling intrepid. Freedom, the Underground Railroad, is an excellent purchase as the difficulty in gameplay will bring you back to the table, as Cyndi Lauper would say, time after time. Once again, my name is Andrew Davidson. I hope I have given you something to think about.